following breaking news, getting you the information as it happens. The Lauren Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ.
And we will keep giving you that information as it happens. And we know information seems to change with the story every day and every hour, as our various levels of government seem to have press conferences every day. The Prime Minister speaking again at around 11:30 this morning. And I'm sure we'll hear from Premier Ford at some point today. An economic statement will be announced today from the Ontario legislature. So we'll find out what happens with that. One of the big stories with this COVID-19 pandemic has been how it is affecting education. Because while businesses are closed and people are self-isolating, students, of course, are not at school. And the big question is, will they be going to school for the remainder of the year? There is, at this point, no definitive answer, although we did hear Premier Ford say the other day that he highly doubts, and we can say that there will be no kids back to school early next month on the 6th. Joining us to talk more about the current state of education and what's going on is the Director of Education for the Hastings Prince Edward District School Board, Sean Monteith. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning, Lauren. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing great, and I hope you're healthy and your family's healthy and everything's okay.
Everything's okay. Thanks for asking. So far, knock on wood, we're trying to follow the advice the best we can, like I suspect everybody is, and taking direction from both the government and health officials. It's certainly a different reality, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely. And as a longtime educator and administrator, I'm sure you have never seen anything like this. We had you on the show a few weeks ago talking about labor strife, and that all seems irrelevant right now. And you've been through situations where students have not been at school because of work stoppage, but certainly nothing like this, where there is no end date. You know, there is no, you can't meet with a virus and say, hey, how about you just calm down now so we can get the kids back to school. This has got to be very, very frustrating for everybody and a little scary.
Well, I think you raised a couple of really good points. First, you know, I was thinking about this, getting ready for a show. Just a few weeks ago, we were talking, and there was a number of issues we spoke of. Certainly, the number one issue on people's top of mind anyways was the labor and job action. And, you know, how much are things relative to the current realities when you look at what we're dealing with now? You know, I would actually say that there was, and it's probably helpful for your listening audience to know, there was a tentative agreement between the Elementary Teachers Federation and the provincial government a week ago on the Friday night. We got that announcement. So there is some good news, and I think we have to find the good news. But, the reality we're in right now, Lauren, there's not an educator or anybody in this sector, or I would suspect in any sector, that has experienced anything like this. We've experienced many other things. I think the word unprecedented has been used an awful lot, and it's probably the most appropriate term to use. I have never seen anything like it. And I think what makes this so challenging is the uncertainty around it. And with that uncertainty, the just not knowing it when students and staff are going to come back, and if students and staff are going to come back. And I say that not lightly. But I think that is not beyond the realm of possibility.
It truly isn't. I mean, Major League Baseball is saying, hey, we're not going to come back for quite a while. And you know, that's by no means a indicator for education. But it's just for them to get going and come back. That's just one business, one sports league. The premier, you obviously saw him the other day saying we're not coming back on the 6th. And so who knows? And also we've heard the Minister of Education, Stephen Lecce, say, we're going to make sure that that people who are graduating, so grade 12 students, are going to graduate. So those things seem to me to say that the government is preparing for this year to not resume.
Yeah, I would agree. I would think that, like at the local level, meaning the school board level, we are discussing and meeting every day virtually. And you know, last week was the March break. It was not a March break that I have been have experienced before. I mean, you know, we were connected and working hard every day, planning around contingency and next steps, if you will. But, you know, we take a lot of our direction from the province, you know, certainly federal levels too, but the province. And what I would say is the plans that we are being told to put in place and to, you know, keep on top of mind are in it for the long haul. And, you know, you referenced the sports league. I'm watching news and media outlets just like, you know, everyone, I would say, at this point in time that has access to technology. And, you know, I was watching last night a credible physician from Toronto, from one of the hospitals in Toronto, that had indicated that we're 3 weeks behind where some of these other countries are over in Europe. And that's concerning. So, you know, I issued an internal communication at the end of last week to my entire system and indicated that, you know, in my personal and professional view, our number one priority is the safety and security of our staff and our students and their families, and making sure that we don't lose sight of those in our communities that are most vulnerable, but don't have people checking in on them. And then down on that list, but not far down, but further down than those other priorities, are the education and the outcomes. And, you know, the minister has made it clear that, first off, certain provincial assessments that you and I have talked about earlier on in our previous show, EQAO as an example, are now nixed for this year. That was the right decision, and I commend him for that decision. And that students that are graduating or on track to graduate this year will not have that graduation outcome compromised, because, you know, we have to believe and we know that this will be the case, that while things will look very different on the other side of this, life will go on, and colleges and universities will be expecting a first-year cohort of students, and students will be looking to go into trade schools. So we have to plan for all those things, and it is challenging when you're not together, but, you know, the world just can't stop, and it may feel like it stops, but we have responsibilities, and I know there's lots of anxiety and questions out there for kids that are graduating, for their parents, and all I would say to people is we will get through this. We just need to focus on getting through it right now and making good decisions along the way.
And what's frustrating for everybody, every business, the government, for education, for everybody, is you like me as a talk show host, like everybody else, plan ahead. I have guests scheduled 2 months from now. But the life has changed. It's gone from a life of planning to a life of reacting. And that's what you guys are doing every day. You have to react to the latest.
And I think, you know, that's a really good way to characterize it, because, you know, you have to be, like, you have to live in the moment for sure. And unfortunately, there just are times in life where you may find yourself reacting more than preparing. But you need to be strategic. You need to be planful. And, you know, I had my daily check-in video conference call with my senior team yesterday, and I said, you know, we're going to try and do the best we can this week. You know, and to be fully transparent and candid with everyone, especially the families and staff of Hastings and Prince Edward District School Board, you know, we're making the best decisions we can, as strategically as we can, but we are muddling through things. And I feel good about what we've done and what we've put out there for families. But, you know, there are so many things, Lauren, right now that are just on hold. We have capital projects and capital plans that we wanted to move on, that I believe we will move on at some point, but right now they're on hold. We have a strategic plan that's in mid-flight right now that we have to look at. And these things will continue, but right now they're on hold. And it is frustrating. And I think the only way that I would counter that is to remain grounded and have our feet, you know, firmly planted by realizing that there are bigger, more serious things going on. There are people who have lost loved ones. And when I hear that we are just, you know, we are just approaching where some of these other places have been, our priority needs to be where it really deserves to be, and that's on the health and the security of our families and our loved ones and our staff and our communities.
100%. I mean, while you were talking and I was listening to you, I was also thinking that, can you imagine trying to get a whole bunch of kind of snotty-nosed children on a bus a couple times a day and having to try to keep that cleaned and sanitized? And even though those kids might show no symptoms, That doesn't mean they're not carrying this and how that could pass on
right.
to, I mean, it's just that one little aspect, never mind getting into the school environment in a crowded school, is enough to make you think, you know, a 6-month disruption of somebody's educational career is nothing towards somebody's 90 or 85 year life. And you are right. There's something at the end of this.
Well, and you're right. I mean, I chuckled. That's the first chuckle I've had today. Your cancellation of kids getting on the bus. I'll have to term it a different way, but your point is well taken. That you know, I mean, children. Schools are like hospitals in many ways. It's a carrying environment for virus and infection. We know that, and we deal with that regularly. Nothing like this, of course. And it only takes one. And so our conversations behind the scenes around the buses and utilization and classrooms and hygiene and the supplies we have to keep our schools clean, all those things need to be considered. And actually, you know, I'll be very candid again. Like, I worry about when we do come back and what this looks like because there is such uncertainty. I don't think, you know, we certainly can't go on like this forever.
Mm-hmm.
It has been a year like no other, and I've seen some interesting years before. But I think that... you know, this is really taking a toll on staff. People may think, well, you know, the staff are at home and they're getting paid and, you know, what are they doing? I can tell you from the communication that I received from my staff that they would do anything they could on top of their head to support the children. And the staff and the principals and even staff in our board offices are greatly concerned about the kids and the families in their homes. It's interesting, you know, I was just, as you were talking, our focus has almost shifted from solely academic and well-being support and preparedness for our kids. And we have our Learning Foundation that has been, you know, it's full tilt trying to provide food cards, if you will, and hampers for families in need. So it's almost like we've become this charitable organization right across the entire district. And I'm okay with that. Like, that's where our priority needs to be right now. Because at the end of the day, we need these kids back. We need their families safe. We just, like you and I just said a few minutes ago, we just got to get through it.
Well, let's talk about what might happen. So we know that the provincial government the other day on Friday announced TV Ontario, for example, is going to be showing online or on-air educational programming. There'll be online programming. But I got to say, you just mentioned how great your staff and the teachers are. And teachers are amazing. Like, they are, because they're moms and dads and
yes.
community members
yes.
as it is. And there are teachers who are right now, as we speak, telephoning their kids or sending them video emails or going on Google Classroom and giving them little assignments to do and things like that. These are amazing people that I know you know is happening. But I just want to get it out there that for people who think that teachers are sitting at home doing nothing, that is so far from the case. They are concerned, focused, and they care about their students.
Well, you know, 100%. I really, like, I appreciate you saying that. And I would extend that to our early childhood educators, our education assistants who work with students that have special needs. Even our custodians, Lauren. Like, these are people that are wanting and are asking our administrators, what can we do? We have administrators in the north putting together, you know, more or less sanitized care bags and activity kits for kids and leaving them on doorstops. There are things going on behind the scenes that I would term nothing short of heroic. And, you know, if there's one thing aside from speaking with you that I really can take advantage of while I'm on the air with you, there are a number of school boards in the province of Ontario, and I was proud of the school board I came from. But if there was one school board that I wanted to be associated with today, it's the Hastings and Prince Edward District School Board, because my staff, the only word that would describe how I'm feeling about my system is pride. And I hope that if there's one thing that comes out of this after it's all said and done, the potential for acrimony and disruption because of labor and these other challenges, perhaps maybe we'll be a little closer together and we will be, I don't want to sound rainbows and unicorns like one family. There will always be difficulties. Most families have them, but people are doing amazing things. And, you know, to the government, I don't want to sound partisan, and I heard your interview, you know, the other day with the premier. The government is reacting and trying to do the best they can. Nobody was expecting a month ago to have to put an online learning platform for 2.1 million children across this province. And, you know, I think they're going to find out that the infrastructure may not just hold up the way they will. I know one thing that we're going to take away is we are trying to track how many of our families actually do not have access to technology or equipment, so they actually can't even learn from home. So we need, and we'll be able to determine that now in a way that we probably wouldn't have prioritized before this. But I know I asked my system in that internal communication last week to please forward online learning resources so that we could vet and see if they were credible. And what I can share with you and your audience is that in the first 2 days of this going live, starting Monday, we have had over 2,200 users and families in our system, and actually outside the province, accessing Hastings Prince Edward District School Board learning resources that have been compiled and put into a repository by my own teachers and staff.
Well, that's
so
great.
We are doing the best we can, and I'm very proud of them.
Do you foresee a time where there will be online learning that kids will have to go on and try to get some education, as opposed to, you know, parents encouraging kids to do school? And then let's also remember, folks, that if you're at home with your kids, you know, education is not just done by teachers. You can help educate your kids. You may not be a math or science expert, but you can certainly, there's a billion things that you can educate your kids about, whether it's even cooking or sewing or washing or building something, or maybe you are an expert in history or geography or things like that. There's so much that you can do besides the kids being on social media or being on their video games or whatever the case might be, that you can help educate your children even though they're not in the classroom.
So I would say, so there's two really good parts to your comments. The question, do I foresee this being more of a norm? If this goes on much longer past the 2 weeks, and I think, you know, you've identified that the premier did indicate that it's not going to see business as usual as of April 6th. If we are in it for the long haul, meaning the rest of this year, then I think you're going to see the online learning take on a little more rigor and some expectations and criteria. I mean, you simply are going to have to. You know, there's going to be all kinds of challenges with that, supervision and assessment of the student work and how everybody learns differently. But if this goes on for a couple of months then, yes, I do see that. There's not going to be an alternative other than to disengage altogether, and I don't think that's an option. One thing I would say to your other comment around what people can do at home, I've had a lot of parents emailing me and ask what they can do. And even those parents that don't have technology or have access to resources, if there's one thing you could do, especially, this applies to secondary and elementary students, but it would seem to be more apt for elementary, I can't encourage parents and families enough to read. Read with your kids. Have your kids read to you. If you have more than one child at home, have them read to each other. I have a 16-year-old who is not intrinsically motivated to read with his father right now, but if we're getting to that point, that reading is not, it's low cost, and there's value to it, and that's the one thing I can impress is read with your kids.
Oh my goodness, that is such good advice. And it's so easy, right? Find something that your kids love and have them read it. And this is one of those opportunities where the teacher isn't telling you what book to read. You can pick it out yourself, whatever the kid is interested in. It's just that act of reading and then maybe discussing it and so on and so forth. It's such a good idea. And also a lot of parents are saying they're doing this, they're making kind of schedules up, right? So yeah, you can go out and we need to get some exercise and we're going to do this now. And then reading time is from 1 to 3 kind of thing, or whatever the case might be, because kids do best when they have a schedule, right? I mean, it seems that's the way, that's the best way to do it.
Well, I think structure and you know, I mean, this is one of the things that schools do well. They provide structure for kids. And while children may not, be able to, articulate that they appreciate structure, the reality and the data and the evidence shows that we all benefit from structure at times, children particularly. And, this is a lot of unstructure, and I think parents are doing what they can. I think they're doing the best they can. And I encourage parents to reach out to our schools and to reach out to our staff and to even me. And, you know, what can we do? But, you know, I think providing a structure, like you said, the schedule is not a bad thing. You know, being socially isolating doesn't mean that you can't go outside into your yard. We have a number of our families that live in more rural areas. You can go outside, you know, and I think you can get some fresh air. So there are things we can do. I do think that this is on the front side of this whole experience. And, you know, I concur with you, Lauren. I think we're in it for the long haul. And so I think we're going to have to continue to revisit this. And, you know, I welcome the opportunity of my staff to be public and share, you know, future messaging because it could change in terms of what we're able to provide our kids. And it likely will the longer this goes on. But I know there are people out there looking for a black and white answer where, you know, when is this going to end and what's this going to look like? And I just don't know. I do know that we will come through it. And I will know that we have come through it successfully if we haven't lost any children or staff or our family members, and we're able to come back. And while things will look differently, we will be able to come back, and we'll just pick up where we left off and do the best we can. And this will be an experience and a time and place that we'll never forget.
Well, Sean, you and anybody from the school board has a conduit to get that word out on this show and this radio station anytime you need. You know, those lines of communication are open and encouraged because people are listening. They want to know how this is going to play out. And anytime you want to talk, we're here for you.
Well, I'm grateful. I really am grateful. I know the first time we met, actually not the first time, maybe the first time we went live, you know, it was more of a lighthearted and we had shared a couple laughs. And we do have to remember to laugh even during these times. But things have taken a little more serious and darker tone, and that's the reality. But I really do appreciate the opportunity on behalf of my system. And if I could just say to everyone out there that has children in Hastings and Prince Edward District School Board, our system is working hard behind the scenes for your families, for your kids. To my staff that are listening, they're working hard, and we're doing the best we can to support you. And Lauren, to you and your staff, thank you very much. We're grateful for the opportunity.
Sean Monteith is the Director of Education for the Hastings Prince Edward District School Board. Thank you so much, Sean, and take care to you and all your staff.
Thank you, Lauren, and you as well.